All right, folks, thanks for joining. My name is Yoshimichi. I'm, as Fritz told you guys, I'm a postdoc at ETH Zurich in Switzerland. And today I'm going to be presenting our work, RA Webs, Remote Attestation for Web Services. This is a joint collaboration with my collaborators from Keio University and Tokai University in Japan. With the QR code on the right, bottom left corner, you can follow you can go to the paper, and then on the bottom right corner, you can take a look at the live demo. I do have to note, it's not working right now for some reason. As we all have tried to pray for the demo gods, this didn't work out. Yeah, but it works, I promise. All right, let's get going. So, as we have, as you all are in the confidential computing dev room, I'm pretty sure that you are all looking forward that, T's are going to be the next huge thing in our services. This include web services as well. So, for instance, there is a LLM chat service called Continuum. This is operated by Edgeless Systems, and they use T's to protect the prompts, user prompts, when they're interacting with the LLMs. And there are also other use cases. For instance, they could also be non-reproducible loggers. They could also be secure questionnaires. They could also be privacy preserving deep learning when they're learning using web data. So let's imagine that you are a software engineer at a web development company. You're like, well, I want to protect user prompts or user data. Let's stick a T onto it. And you successfully do it. You pat yourself on your back saying that now we're all good. Right? Well, wrong. There's actually a lot of issues. And in this particular work, we are going to be looking at the issue of remote attestation. So remote attestation, we have looked at it so much in this particular dev room, so I'm not going to be talking too much about it. However, in the context of web ecosystems, remote attestation has a compatibility issue. What I mean by that is that these users, when they're actually trying to interact with T-enabled web systems, they will run into the issue where how in the world they will be able to verify these proofs that are sent from the remote attestation. So one way of doing it is to install client-side software, for instance, like a browser plugin. However, this would cause user friction. So for instance, they would have to go to like a web store and they have to install this and whatnot, and your average user would not like to do that. On top of this, there has been a recent research that showed that installing browser plugins could lead to information leakage. More on that about in a different kind of a paper, but these are all the consequences of installing custom client-side software. Another instance could be like, wait, why don't we wait for standardization, right? So for instance, there's like RATS, and there's also this integration with RA with TLS and DTLS, which I'm going to be covering a little bit later. However, there are two downsides of this. The first one is that standardization efforts may not result in a final standard all the time. What I mean by that is that there could be a lot of different conflict of interest, there could be a lot of discussions, and maybe there might be like, well, okay, let's probably not move on forward with this. Another issue is that the standard, even if we have a standard, the standardization body cannot force the browser vendors to implement that particular feature into their browsers. This has been seen in a lot of different cases, and remote attestation could also be part of that as well. So there are a couple related work to this. The first and most closest one is the verifier that is created by Continuum. The great thing about this verifier is that it actually is compatible with browsers. You don't actually need to install anything. However, there is a confidentiality issue because the entity that is running the verifier and the entity that is running Continuum are the same people. So you have a conflict of interest. Okay, so other two really work are RATS. RATS is a standardized RA model. However, the issue with this is that there aren't any talks about how to integrate this into the web ecosystem and what kind of issues would arise when you actually do that. Another related work is integrating attestation directly into the TLS and DTLS layer. The great thing about this, if this happens, is that it is fully transparent. The remote attestation procedure would be fully transparent to the user, so therefore they don't need to even care about installing anything. The issue is that this is still an ongoing effort, and we still not know what the timeline is of this outcome of the standard. So, given the fact that T-enabled web services is emerging, and we are expecting it to emerge more, we need to have something that works right here, right now, which where we introduce RWebs. RWebs, in short, is a highly compatible remote attestation scheme that is to the current web ecosystem. And this is thanks to the fact that it is built using well-known, well-established web mechanisms, for instance, like Web PKI and certificate transparency. This RWebs allows users to verify remote attestation proofs using existing browsers. Basically, they don't need to install any kind of software on their side. This means that it is immediately deployable. And here I should tell you that you should visit the demo, but, well, as I said, it does not work right now. Hopefully tomorrow. The issue is that the certificate transparency monitor we were using is down right now. And it's not our fault. Hopefully. Hopefully. But anyways, so how does this work? Let's dive a little bit deeper into how our system looks like. So on top of the user and the service, we also have a untrusted third-party verifier that verifies the remote attestation proofs that was delivered from the TA on the user's behalf. Note that this is untrusted, so it can do whatever it wants. So basically, it could try to impersonate a TA, could try to do all sorts of wacky stuff. What the user does, because it does not want to install any software, it would actually visit the website that is exposed by the web verifier that lists out all the good stuff about whether the software was verified or not, whether the proofs were verified or not, and what kind of information is included in the proofs. One thing that I do have to note here is that the service, the web service, and the verifier are not colluding, meaning that they will not be malicious at the same time. Okay. So you might think, well, this is very easy, right? No, it's actually not. There's a lot of challenges we actually had to go over when we're designing the system. The first one is, as we said, there's a lot of things that could go wrong because we're assuming an untrusted verifier. So for instance, when a malicious verifier is existing, and in this particular case, the service would be trustworthy, they could try to lure these users to visit their own malicious fake TA website that basically replicates the one that they're trying to visit. We're trying to, in our paper, we claim that we can prevent this from happening by having users check whether they're going to the correct domain or not. The fact that whether they can actually verify check this or not is a completely different issue, and it's orthogonal to our work. In a second case, in where the web service is malicious, they could try to lure users to a particular fake website and then try to extract all that good information they're trying to collect from them. In this particular case, we're assuming that the verifier is trustworthy, so the verifier would say, hey, you're trying to visit a malicious website, please don't proceed. Another challenge that we had to solve was this issue that a malicious website could actually try to change the address, the domain name that is tied to a particular TA to a fake malicious machine that they own. This is why we use certificate transparency. Certificate transparency would log all these information that was associated with a particular domain and its public key associated to it. So this is the sort of the overview of RA Webs. You see a lot of different things, but the most important part is the communicating phase, where the user, before they would actually visit and start communicating with the TA, they would actually access the verifier's website to check whether the verifier's website is up or not. This time not, but hey. And then what happens is that the information displayed there is correct or not, and then once they are actually verified that all of those information is correct, then they would start visiting and interacting with the trusted application from the web service. Alrighty. So you might be wondering, well, how would RA Webs work in a real-world scenario? So in this particular case, we're going to be assuming that the user is a user that values security, privacy, and also usability. They might not be your average user that, you know, would say, oh, I would be more than happy to install client-side software. This would be your average user that says, well, I want to benefit from, you know, all these nice good stuff, but also at the same time, I don't want to be installing all that, you know, nasty stuff from online, aside from the browser software. On the other side, web services. These web services could be, for instance, services that use things that may not align with user interests. So what I mean by that, for instance, let's take a look at training machine learning models with web data. On the user's perspective, they might not want their data to be exposed when their data is being used for training, but also at the same time, they might want to use these machine trained models because they could have a lot of benefit from it. On the other side, on web service point of view, they might want to train these machine learning models with using user data, but also at the same time, they might want to respect the user's privacy and also at the same time comply with data regulation laws like GDPR and CCPA. TE is a great use case for this. However, if we're collecting web data and the user needs to know that they're being connected to a correct TE, well, how do we actually do that? RA Webs would be your perfect solution. So I think I am extremely quick for this presentation. It went really well, but I'm going to be ending with this slide. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me right now. Thank you. Yes, on the back. So the question was that whether this threat model makes sense, the fact that the verifier is untrusted, and whether this actually whole thing would only work if the verifier is untrusted. The short answer to that is no. If the verifier is always trusted, then we don't even need to do all this kind of stuff. However, there might be a lot of cases where you don't want to trust the verifier. For instance, it could be run by a third party that you might not have heard about. Or it might be run by someone that an independent person. So in this particular, we wanted to kind of cover these cases as well. But if you want to trust a verifier, you can always go ahead and do so. However, that is literally going to go back to the trust model of what the Continuum verifier is implementing right now. So we wanted to also try to see what we can do if we untrust the verifier.
I'm not sure if my question was...
Really? Okay, sorry about that. What was...
So if you have the trusted verifier, that's a separate story. So everything is finished. You trust that, so somehow you build something out of that.
Yeah.
That's fine. So I assume that, okay, so somehow your threat model is correct, and you do not trust that verifier.
Mm-hmm.
So are you claiming that with this, so you didn't actually explain that I couldn't follow the... whatever you do, but after doing all of them, are you claiming that under the threat model of not trusting the verifier, are you still claiming that you can provide all the guarantees for
Oh, I see.
Authentication and attestation?
Okay. I think so. The question was, and sorry for not understanding on the first time. The question was, under the current threat model where you don't trust the verifier, can you still guarantee the correctness and the security of this whole system? Okay. The short answer to that is yes. I will not provide it right now because it's going to be going through a lot of different stuff. If you're really interested, we can talk offline. Also, at the same time, please take a look at the paper if you also wanted to take a look at all the security analysis that we have done. But the short answer to that is with all these systems that we have in place, especially, for instance, the using the CT monitors and also using browser notifications, we actually are able to mitigate a lot of the attacks that an untrusted verifier would be able to try to commit. I think the person on the back was the first. Sorry. That's a good question. That's a good question too. The question was, can you run, are you assuming single verifier or can you run multiple verifiers in parallel? In the paper, we only assume one verifier. However, there could also be an ecosystem where different entities could run their own verifiers and users may want to choose which one they want to use or the services could choose they want to use. That's still open for implementation and design. But in the paper, we only assume right now one. Thank you for your question. Yes, please.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
From a user perspective, the user will be talking with an HTTPS server, right?
Mm-hmm.
So while the user, he needs to go to the verifier, and while the user knows that the URL that he's talking to is somehow linked to this verifier that he opened in a different tab, how can I know that the endpoint I'm talking to is being verified by the verifier?
Okay, so I think the question is, how does the user even know that the verifier is correctly verifying the URL endpoint that is trying to visit?
Yes, correct.
Okay. The answer to that is the fact that, so I didn't talk about this in the presentation because it's a little bit too much details. However, because you have brought it up, I'll talk a little bit more about how we actually implement this. So in the implementation, what happens is that the TA, basically the web service, would have to insert a link into their website to prompt to the user, say, visit this website before you actually talk to us. And then that would then jump, basically that would that button would open up the verifier, and that verifier would be able to know based on these kind of referrals that the web ecosystem has implemented that this is the link that the URL is trying to, the user is trying to verify, and this is the result that I have been verifying throughout the whole time. Again, of course, you might be wondering, what if this, this could happen. What if that could happen? All these security analysis is in the paper. If you want to know more, you can also chat offline as well.
Yeah.
But that's in a nutshell, that's what happens.
Thank you.
I remember there was someone. Yes, yeah, go ahead.
You brought up the example of fine-tuning of a large language model. And normally, when I'm on the web, I don't know how a web service is implemented. Is this in a scenario where the user knows the web service that is offered and just has a SHA-SUM, or is it some external audit of the software which then provides which software is expected? Or is it another threat model that you're trying to tackle there?
So if I understand your question correctly, are you asking whether in the use case of training machine learning models with web data, that the user is aware that they're interacting with a T-enabled service?
Let's say it's a trusted execution environment, or it's clear that it's in a secure environment.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know if I can trust the web service itself, because if it has some logging mechanism to send the data somewhere else, it says, okay, it runs in a trusted environment, but the service itself is already broken, then I know, okay, it's running securely, but the service is broken. So how can I verify, or how do you think about verifying the web service itself to be trustworthy?
So in that particular, so the question was, I think, if I understand correctly, even if we have like a machine learning training model running in, machine learning training inside a TE, if the web service is broken, its web service itself is broken, then all that data that has been collected can be like, you know, leaked all everywhere, right? The short answer to that is that we could just chuck that web server inside the TE as well. In this particular case, we're not assuming that the web server would have to rely on all that data that is collected by the TE. Like, for instance, it could be like, you know, some kind of metric that only the TE would like, you know, be collecting, and then the web server might not be like, you know, be transparent to that. But if you want to still implement that, we can just chuck that web server also inside the TE, and we also still have the same issue about our, you know, remote attestation, our webs. So yeah, okay, time's up. So yep, thank you so much.